This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave. Brenda Blethyn is a British stage actress, best known to audiences here in the States for her portrayals of single mothers, both in Mike Leigh's Secrets and Lies, which won her an Oscar nomination, and the film Little Voice with Michael Caine. In her new film, Saving Grace, Blethyn cuts loose from the mother stereotype. She plays Grace, a recent widow whose philandering husband leaves her monstrously in debt. Grace enters into a desperate scheme with her gardener, Matthew, played by Craig Ferguson, to raise money by growing marijuana. One critic describes Saving Grace as trying to do for marijuana dealing what the Full Monty did for male striptease, a BBC sitcom as imagined by Cheech and Chong. In this scene from Saving Grace, Matthew is showing Grace for the first time the plants he's been growing undercover in a church graveyard.
Why are you whispering?
I don't want you to wake up any squirrels or anything. Just stay here. Stay here.
Are these Gerald's plants?
No, they're mine. I think I might have overwatered them.
I'm not stupid, Matthew. I know what this is.
What is it?
Hemp.
Is it? Right, it's hemp.
They're not getting enough light, are they? They're never going to grow in the dark down here.
Well, I didn't really want anybody to see them.
Well, you wouldn't, would you?
No.
Well, if you want these poor things to grow, they need some decent soil and some better light.
Okay, thanks.
Come on, then. Let's take one back to the greenhouse, see what we can do.
Well, you may not want to do that.
I'm a gardener. These are sick plants.
Brenda Blethyn, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Grace is a masterful gardener of all kinds of plants, and she ends up then growing these hundreds of kilos of marijuana, enough to fill a whole greenhouse. I understand you used actual hemp plants. Did that cause any problems with the law, or did you have to get a special dispensation to work with hemp?
Yes, we did. Now, the marijuana plants, most of them, I hasten to add, are made by our expert design department, Eve Stewart, who you might know was Oscar nominated for Topsy Turvy. But the ones in the foreground are actual hemp plants, and they were loaned to us under special dispensation from the Home Office, from the government, and they arrived under police escort and I think were locked up at night. However, the potent part of their plant had been removed, so it's rather like taking the caffeine out of coffee or the alcohol out of beer. But I don't know what they did with the bit they took out. I have no idea where that
it disappeared mysteriously.
Where that went to. But I wouldn't know the difference from one from the other, but that's what I'm told anyway.
There's another great scene in the movie where you're posing as a drug dealer in London, and you're this wonderful upper middle class woman from this small town. You're wearing this brilliant white suit, this lovely get-up with an aviator scarf or something, and you're in the seedy neighborhood in London. Apparently,
yes,
you convinced passerbys rather too well while you were filming the scene.
Yes, I did. Oh, and by the way, she looked fabulous in that suit 25 years ago. It was part of her trousseau. It's a good job she hung on to it. But my goodness, I thought she looked like Dame Edna Everidge. I don't know if you've ever heard of
Absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely.
But but yes, it was an improvised scene in a busy, normal shopping day in Portobello Road. And the cameras were hidden, and there was no way it could be choreographed. And so to facilitate that, I was introduced to 40 extras who I'd never seen before in my life before we started the scene. And they were all brilliantly dressed to blend in with normal everyday shoppers. Now, I don't know about you, Barbara, but if you were introduced to 40 strangers who then mingled in with hundreds of other strangers, would you remember which one was which? Because I couldn't.
I don't blame you.
And so inadvertently, I would go up to innocent shoppers and ask if they would like to buy my stash. and then I'd see Nigel waving his hand, shouting, no, not that one. And I have to say, I scored twice. And And one gentleman tried to make a citizen's arrest on me and put me in an arm lock. And Nigel had to come flying down again from his perch and say, no, 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 please put her down. It's Brenda Blethyn. She's in our film, Saving Grace. You'll love it when you see it. But he did laugh. He did see the funny side of it, the man did. But good for him.
Things could have gotten very ugly.
And somebody was overheard in a shop saying, have you seen Brenda Blethyn out on the street there? She's selling drugs. Must have thought I'd hit on hard times.
My guest is actress Brenda Blethyn. Her new film is Saving Grace. You were nominated for an Oscar for your role as Cynthia in Mike Leigh's Secrets and Lies. Cynthia is a bit of a down-and-out working-class single mom who, in the course of the film, is reunited with a daughter she gave up for adoption when she was 15. Had you played many working-class women of Cynthia's sort when you were cast in the film?
I've certainly been offered a lot of working-class roles since playing Cynthia. Mostly at the theatre, I would play middle-class characters. But yes, I have played working class before. Six of one, half a dozen of the other, really. Since I made Secrets and Lies, most of the scripts I received, film scripts, were for unfortunate women who cried a lot. But I didn't
think I
could
top my... a lot of that in the film.
Yes, she's such a sad lady.
Mike Leigh is well known for his ensemble style of producing a film. He casts actors he wants, and then you all develop the character through months and months of workshops. What did you know about your character, Cynthia, when you arrived for rehearsals the first day of Secrets and Lies?
I knew absolutely nothing about her. She didn't exist when I arrived. I invented her with Mike Leigh. In fact, when you embark on an engagement with Mike Leigh, you have absolutely no idea what sort of role you're going to be playing at all. I could have been playing a duchess for all I knew. Neither are we given a storyline. We know absolutely nothing. And that's not just at the beginning, that's throughout the engagement. I have to say, I didn't know fully what the film was about until I went to see it in the cinema. An actor's only responsibility is to the character they are creating and to any other character they might come into contact with. Obviously, I had seen a cast list. I didn't know everybody on the cast list, so I didn't get to meet a lot of them. And so when Cynthia goes to meet the daughter she gave up for adoption 27 years earlier, I had absolutely no idea whatsoever who was going to turn up, if anybody. It was a total shock.
Now, before, I want to talk about that scene where you meet your daughter, but before we do, I'm curious how you begin at the beginning to develop the character. Do you start in chronological order and start with the young backstory of a character named Cynthia?
Yeah, there is no backstory, but you are right. The character is created totally chronologically. And having found a starting point, and that could be anything at all, just one particular characteristic, her generosity, for instance. I don't think it was that, but that could be something. And then you start from the year dot. And then when you get to age four, after maybe 6 weeks or so, of working with Mike Leigh, sort of discovering what this woman, you would build her history in the minutest of detail. For instance, what was the wallpaper like in her bedroom? What was the view from the window? What sounds would be coming from the kitchen? Who else would be in the house at that time of day? And this is from like age four. Would father have gone to work yet? What was the bed linen like? And all these things, so that when you progress, it's totally chronologically, the character is bringing a history with her. So eventually, when the actor is required to go into an improvisation, she has a whole history, rather like now, if we had to start this interview all over again, if this was a film, we'd kind of know what happened. If we had to recreate it, we kind of know how it's come together. But we're not thinking ahead. We just know what's happened up until this very moment. So you don't have to invent anything, just react and act as those characters would in any given situation.
I think I read somewhere that you went to the library at one point and looked up the job listings in the paper in the year that Cynthia would
That's
have
right.
gotten out of school, right?
That's right. She left school in 1966, and I went to the newspaper archive in North London and looked up the actual local paper, the actual week that she left school to see actually what jobs would have been available to her. And I have to say, there were many. Unlike today, when there's lots of unemployment, there were loads and loads of jobs available.
Let's play the scene from Secrets and Lies in which Cynthia meets her daughter Hortense for the first time. And this is her daughter who she gave away at birth and never even held her, didn't ever see her.
That's right, didn't see her.
They agree to talk in a tea room, coffee house. Cynthia doesn't believe Hortense is her daughter because Hortense is black.
They shouldn't go raising your hopes like that. It ain't fair.
Is this your signature?
This is stupid. I don't understand it. I mean, I can't be your mother, can I?
Why not?
Well, look at me.
What?
Listen, I don't mean nothing by it, darling, but I ain't never been with a black man in my life. No disrespect nor nothing. I'd have remembered, wouldn't I?
That's a scene from Secrets and Lies, which starred my guest, Brenda Blethyn. So, and of course, in that pause in the clip, that's really your face doing the acting when you're suddenly remembering, I suppose, a one-night stand.
That's right. Yes. So that's what I mean, in that long pause when she's working it out. Because for 27 years, she thought the father was somebody else, a white man who she'd been working with all that time earlier. And so in that pause, she's working out what could have happened in that time. Who possibly could it have been? And then she remembers an incident in that pause that tells her that probably she is her daughter. But it was just the shock of it. But I have to channel all that through Cynthia's memory, not my own. Brenda thinks that'll probably get a laugh. You know? But that third eye up there watching what I'm doing, because it's not method acting, it's the opposite. You have to be totally objective about what we're doing all the time.
How then does Lee's technique stretch you as an actor, or change you as an actor?
Oh, well, I have to say, I worked with Mike Lee, first of all, on a film for the BBC called Grown Ups in 1980. And after working with him on that, I realised that everything I had done beforehand, I'd been really lazy on. And so I on everything I do now, on every scripted piece, well, I mean, mostly I do work on scripted work, I employ some of his technique. I have to work out a back history for the character. If the writer's around, I will consult with him. Or if he's not, I will. I have to know how the character arrives at page one. Where have they been until page one? For instance, in Saving Grace, I open up at page one and here she is in her mid-40s. So I read the script, I know what the script is, but how did she arrive at page one? What mood is she in at the top of page one? Did she have a good night's sleep? And I want to know where she's been for 45 years. And so it's important for me to work that out. I might not share it with anybody, but I need to know it for myself, to know what makes the woman tick.
Which do you prefer, working with a script or without a script?
Oh, I have to say, on occasions during Secrets and Lies, I thought, oh, please, somebody, anybody, give me a script, please. but having some, I'm being flippant, really, because it is such a rewarding process. And at the end of it, you have such a wonderful sense of achievement. You know, you get to use your brain. So every word that comes out of the actor's mouth is invented by the actor. That's not to say it's not Mike Lee's project, because in the end he says what he wants in, what he wants out. He is totally in the driving seat. And it couldn't possibly happen without him. Because he's, I suppose you could say, totally in charge of the circumstances in which the characters find themselves. And he's ahead of the game. He kind of knows what's going to happen. We don't, because we don't know all the ingredients. He does.
Brenda Blethyn is my guest. She's a longtime British stage actress. She's known to American audiences for her roles in the films Secrets and Lies, Little Voice, and her new movie is Saving Grace. Brenda, let's take a break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air.
Okay.
My guest is actress Brenda Blethyn. She's known for her roles in such films as Secrets and Lies, Little Voice, and her new film is Saving Grace. You played another working-class single mom in Little Voice with Jane Horrocks.
Yes.
This time, it's more of the gin-swilling, tardy variety. Mari. Let's give people a taste of her. Here she is remembering her good times with Ray Say, a sleazy nightclub talent agent who wants to exploit Mari's daughter's singing talent. In this scene, she's talking to her friend Sadie in a tea room.
Sadie, what a night I had me last night, eh? What a friggin' championship night. You should have seen me. Queen for a night I was. You'll never guess who. Ray Say.
Ray friggin' Say, you know him. He's agent to the stars, king of cabaret, manager of miracles. He's down at Mr. Boo's nightclub all the time. Has that slight look of Elvis about him. You know him, everyone knows him. And he knows everyone. Ain't it when Mr. Boo himself introduced us the other night? And 2 seconds said it, I fib you not. 2 seconds. And his hands on me arse. My arse, my golden old arse in Ray Say's hands. While he stands there telling jokes to Mr. Boo. Well, I saw him again last night. Oh, the music was in our heads and in his wandering hands. He'll make it in anything, Ray Say. It's one of them lovable twat sort of types. Driving me round in his lovable twat mobile. He motored me round about 1,000,000 miles an hour. Me heart in me mouth, his hand up me skirt and me mind on his meat and veg.
That must have been such great fun. Is that character a staple of British comedy, this blousy aging party girl? Give us your lips, you, and double me palpitations.
Give us your lips, you.
She's a staple of British life. I don't know. particularly in the north of England, they're very colourful characters in the north, and they're much more social beings. I love being in the north of England. They're really nice people, much more friendly. In fact, I was watching a documentary the other night on the television, and it was full of people like Mari. I think it's from Bradford or somewhere like that up north. Yes, people like her do exist. I have to say, if I saw her coming towards me down the street, I'd have to cross the road and she would frighten me. Yeah, but it was fun to play her, I must say, and it was fabulous working with Michael Caine and Jane Horrocks.
You wear some hideous outfits in this movie, I have to say.
All my own. Not really, I'm joking.
is it tough to appear on screen in these tight, awful, knit clashing colours, slutty type things?
Yeah, Barbara, I'm often asked that. How do I feel when I see myself looking so awful? And my answer is, I don't see myself. I'm sitting here in the studio in London in an Armani suit. And
bless your soul.
I see her. I see Cynthia. I'm not playing me. I'm playing somebody else. And it's her problems I sympathise with. I think, oh, God, if you're your own worst enemy, Mari, don't wear those things. They look dreadful. Don't pull that belt in so tight. You'd probably look better if you didn't. Let the hem down, won't you? And leave those awful pantyhose alone. Yeah, I think the same as other people do watching it, because I don't see me at all. I see her, that sad, unfortunate, desperate person.
Michael Caine plays Ray in Little Voice.
Yeah.
He's also Mari's love interest. I think Michael Caine is just a wonderful actor, just the true professional. Had you ever worked with him before?
No, I hadn't worked with Michael Caine, and I have to say I was a little apprehensive when I turned up there to work with him, because he's so fabulous. I've grown up thinking what a wonderful actor he is, and here I am going to be playing these raunchy scenes with him. And I thought he might pull rank and want the focus of attention on him, and I would feel compromised, but not in the least. He was only concerned, as I was, with the scene working and not in pulling focus. If the scene works, it all works, and not with wanting the focus of attention on him at all. And we had the greatest respect for each other, and it was very, very enjoyable.
I think the first scene you filmed with Michael Caine, you had to leap on him and smother him with kisses.
Yes. Yes, it's the one when she runs out of the house and she leaps on him and kisses him. And yes, I think Mark Herman did that deliberately to sort of cut the ice a little for the more raunchier scenes later on.
Apparently
we laughed a lot about it.
You kept messing up. You had to do it over and over and over.
Deliberately. Great.
Brenda Blethyn, I want to thank you very much for talking with me today on Fresh Air.
It's totally my pleasure, Barbara. Thank you.
Brenda Blethyn's new film is Saving Grace. Coming up, a review of two new CDs by singer Juliana Hatfield. This is Fresh Air.